You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is day of days. You know what, Butters? You probably know the sound effect for Friday, do you? I mean, we've got an explosion plus applause. You have to do both like at the same time. You got
to at the same time.
Yeah, you got to go explosion.
You leave the most complicated thing for the end of the day.
Just, hey, Butters, how you doing? Hit me some Friday. You got it? Can you do it? Friday! Perfectly executed. Perfectly executed. Oh, you cut it off right there in the middle of the applause. I mean, just.
It's 13 minutes of applause.
Oh, we don't want to do that. All right, I didn't know that. Okay. Hey, man, you doing all right?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. Little high school football tonight. It's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah, so. you working the concessions tonight?
Yeah, man.
Aren't you guys got it going on? Like you told me the other day, y'all bring Philly cheesesteak to the concession stand?
Yeah, well we got the you get those Blackstone grills out there. Like
that's crazy.
The folks that are running it, they found some choice Walmart meat. Actually pretty darn good.
Okay. And on that note, we got a great show for you late on today. So 3:30 today, Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute will be here. Justin's a fiscal analyst, great guy, knows where all the numbers bones are buried around the state of Alabama. Well, we got some stuff to talk about because there's been some new doings. The feds are coming in. We'll talk about that, how that impacts the bottom line for Alabama. That's at 3:30, Justin Bogey, Alabama Policy Institute. And then I've got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, a military legacy. And by the way, thank you to one of our listeners yesterday, Craig from Huntsville. He got me keyed in on an article that was, it was really good, and it sparked what we're about to do here today with Dipper number one, a military legacy. What does it mean for people to want to serve because they saw another family member serve? I can speak to it personally, but I think a lot of y'all can too. The reality is this. The U.S. Army is struggling right now, the U.S. military as a whole, but the U.S. Army actually has a Secretary of the Army who is discouraging the idea of following the examples of a family member, and I find that reprehensible. We're going to talk about what it means to have a military legacy and why that's been so important to the U.S. Armed Forces. You may be shocked to find out how many people in our military are following in their family members' footsteps. And then there's number two. Number two of the Triple Dipper, here comes the Fed is what I'm saying. Here comes the Fed. Yes, the federal government is dabbling into virtually everything in the world right now. They are not afraid under the Biden administration to get all up in your business. They're getting all up in our state business, too. They're changing the way we run our elections. They're changing the way we develop revenue from oil and gas offshore leases. They're changing the way they're investigating things like, did somebody have the right sewage system? I mean, it goes on and on and on, and it also impacts our bottom line. So number two on the Triple Dipper, here comes the Fed. And then number three, adventures in woke world. You know the deal. I mean, sometimes when I'm searching out the stuff in the morning, getting the show ready early, man, I just find so much stuff is like, how much wokeness? A whole buffet. I got a plethora of wokeness. The cornucopia is filled with wokeness. We're going to talk about it. Adventures in Woke World, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right. Hey, let me move to my comments for the day and open up with the Right Side Way monologue. I'll remind you guys, by the way, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is the chain of clinics all across our listening area that is a sponsor of the Right Side Way Monologue Daily, but they're open 7 days a week, multiple locations, places like Gaston, Anniston, five locations around the Birmingham area. Solid, professional, and by the way, owned by Right Side Ruffians. So check them out. If you need medical attention 7 days a week, they're there for you. Walk-ins are welcome. Southern Immediate Care. And oh, by the way, the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. So, wow, there was a story the other day on Fox. Charlene said, you got to hear the story. Well, it was something. Let me start by saying this. There was this moment in movie history. It was that time when fiction on the big screen seemed so outlandish, you know, so far out. I mean, you listened, but you didn't really catch that it was telling you something that maybe you needed to hear. I mean, maybe, in fact, it was a science fiction movie that was actually predicting something. In 1984, the hit movie that spawned a whole franchise came out in theaters and just blew audiences away. It was Terminator, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, and Michael Biehn. It was epic, and it was also pretty scary stuff. But then in 1991, they came out with Terminator 2, Judgment Day. This is the one that really advanced the story, and we became aware of the true nature of the unseen villain of a thing called Skynet. Well, there's a quote in the movie, T2, that I have always thought was one of the creepiest movie dialogues. It was between the main character, Sarah Connor, and the Terminator, who at this point was actually working on the side of the good guys. And they were discussing how everything started, how mankind had built its own demise in the form of a smart computer system that could think for itself. And it went something like this. Here's the actual quote. The Terminator said, in a few months, he will create a revolutionary type of microprocessor. Go on, then what? In 3 years, Cyberdyne will then become the largest supplier of military computer systems. All stealth bombers are upgraded with Cyberdyne computers being fully unmanned. Afterwards, they fly with a perfect operational record. The Skynet funding bill is passed. The system goes online August 4th of 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense. Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th. In a panic, they try to pull the plug. Skynet fights back? Yes, it launches its missiles. So the smart system became so smart that it recognized that the only threat to its own existence was actually the ones who created it, mankind. Creepy, right? But yet still seeing science fiction, right? Maybe not. Earlier this year, the Air Force ran a series of simulations on the use of artificial intelligence in armed unmanned aerial systems, or drones. Soon thereafter, at a future combat air and space capabilities conference in London, a guy named Air Force Colonel Tucker Hamilton, he told the audience that in the tests, the simulated armed drone was given the mission of identifying and taking out surface-to-air missile sites using artificial intelligence. But the go-no-go for each kill shot was still vested in a human operator at a distant location that had to approve it, and didn't always approve it. The AI drone apparently got frustrated when the human began telling it not to take out certain sites, which of course meant that it could not complete its mission in perfect fashion. So the AI drone turned and took out the human operator to remove the impediment of being told no. Wow. It gets better when you hear they quickly reprogrammed it, put the base software in place that, you know, made killing human operators a really bad thing. So it just returned and took out the tower that sent the signal from the human operator so it couldn't hear the signal no. Y'all, the Air Force tried to walk back Colonel Hamilton's comments just in days thereafter, but by then the cat was out of the bag. And that's not just creepy, y'all. That's some next-level Arnold Schwarzenegger I'll be back creepy. Well, in a recent article in the Harvard International Review, it was stated that a team of Microsoft scientists have recently published a paper in which they state that AI projects that they've been working on are beginning to show what they call, quote, sparks of artificial general intelligence, or AGI. AGI is said to be as smart as or smarter than humans. It's noted in the article as the holy grail of AI research. The article goes on to say, it's imperative to develop a so-called, quote, alignment among the world nations to govern the development of AI, otherwise we are destined to be in an AI arms race. Although some believe the U.S. and China are already in the AI arms race right now. The article ends by saying, quote, a detente on this particular technological race, however unlikely it may seem today, may be critical to humanity's long-term flourishing. Wow. Again. Y'all, that's some sobering stuff. I mean, how do we feel about the idea of an artificial intelligence making decisions about life or death, go, no go, kill, no kill? Well, it's already underway. There are whole research and development labs right now devoting billions of dollars to the development of what we already know as LAWs, or lethal autonomous weapons. But there are smart folks everywhere that are warning against this. There's a loose international organization right now that calls itself, quote, the Campaign to Stop Killer Robots. They formed 10 years ago. It's not a lightweight group. In July 2015, over 1,000 experts in artificial intelligence through that group signed on to a letter to stop killer robots, warning of the threat of an arms race in military artificial intelligence and calling for a ban on autonomous weapons. The letter was presented in Buenos Aires at the 24th International Joint Conference on Artificial Intelligence. It was co-signed by Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, Steve Wozniak, Noam Chomsky, and 1,000 others. There is real concern. I mean, just a few weeks ago, Elon Musk warned U.S. senators of what he called a civilizational risk. When he was asked whether he thought that AI could destroy mankind, Musk got quiet for a second. And then he said, there is some chance above zero that AI will kill us all. He said, I think it's low, but if there's some chance, I think we should also consider the fragility of human civilization. Well, experts and academics are even now working on the framework for the laws of ethics to govern AI. But as they debate philosophically in their studious gatherings, how about if all of us common folk just ask them to put us first? I mean, shouldn't the ultimate aim of man-made technology be for the preservation and betterment of mankind? I'm of the mind that we should start with that as the base premise for any intellectual foray in AI ethics and rules. No computer should be allowed to calculate the decisions that mean life or death without the sense of compassion and faith and competitiveness and love that we humans have. A computer might be able to think and calculate and respond quicker and more accurately than the average person, but a computer also can't look someone in the eye and get a sense of their emotions. A computer can't weigh the human factor in its go-no-go decision. We need to get a handle on this right now, y'all. Right now, as in today. Skynet became self-aware. In a panic, they tried to pull the plug. It fought back. Doesn't sound too far-fetched now, does it? And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Dang, I'll be honest with you. I got goosebumps writing that one. That was one that as I put it together and began to piece parts together of this, I thought, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, we thought it was science fiction. In 1984, when Terminator came out, it just seemed so far-fetched. Of course, back then, we didn't even have cell phones in our hands, right? Nowadays, we have technology in our hands that could put a man on the moon. But the idea that AI could make life-or-death decisions? Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.